Praise God. Praise God. Okay, we got contact. We got power.
Hallelujah.
So let's do it.
Hallelujah. 1, 2.
There you go. Okay.
Whoops.
Yep.
1.
1. 2. I blew it. All right.
Stop. I feel like that you noticed. Probably get very okay. Interesting.
And 1.
By the end of the sermon.
And 2. There we go.
And now they come out with the iPad. The heck is that all about? Praise
well,
God.
One of these days we'll have an audio-visual department that will deal with
yes,
for you.
Yeah. There was a guy in my high school named Jimmy Fisher who was the nerdiest guy you ever want to meet, but he was an expert at audio-visual. You know? He set
yes.
up all the screenings and the films and everything else. I wonder what he's doing today. He's probably working for Bill Gates. Psalm 116. Verse 12, to begin with. Psalm 116, verse 12. Is it warm enough in here for everybody?
No.
You can turn it up if you'd like.
Turn it up to here?
Uh-huh. Psalm 116, verse 12. I mean, it's fine for me, but, you know. What's that? Yes, I can always turn on the fan. It says, "What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me?" Indeed. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. Father, we do desire to know what we can render unto you, Lord, for all the tremendous benefits that you've given us, Lord. Life, life more abundantly. So many blessings, Lord. So many answered prayers. So many promises that are great and precious to each one of us, Father God. Lord, show us how we can render unto you in return for all that you've done for us, Lord. Speak to our hearts today, I pray, Father. Lord, if we lift up Steve,
yes,
pray for
yes,
his
Jesus.
Recovery, Father God. We lift up Peg and Tira, Lord, that you would just strengthen them with might by your Spirit in the inner man, Lord. Give them the strength to go through yet another bout of whatever may be coming down the pike, Lord God. We pray for Teresa, Lord God, that you'll get her rehabbed and back into her apartment, that you'll supply a kidney for her, Lord. Praise be to God. We pray for Jack's healing. We pray for each and every member of the body, Lord God, that you will just minister out of your heart of compassion, loving kindness, and power. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. All God's people said amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? You know, I go through Barryville almost always 5 days a week. And there's a little fruit stand there next to the Barryville Diner. And he has a hand-painted sign, pretty big sign, that's been there throughout the spring, the summer, and is still there. And the sign reads, "Animal Apples." And I'm thinking to myself, you know, I grew up, you know, right next to Apple Country. I know Macintosh, I know Delicious, I know Rome, I know all these. I never heard of Animal Apples. And I see it every day. You know, I'm going down. And finally, someone enlightened the eyes of my understanding. And they said, those are the bruised and unsellable apples that they sell en masse at a cheap price to feed your horses, your sheep, your goats. Wow. You know, animal apples. Oh, makes sense now. And I was thinking, you know, that is animal apples are the fruit of unfruitfulness, you know? And we can have animal apples in our lives as well. The fruit of unfruitfulness, bruised fruit, tainted fruit, fruit that's only good to, you know, feed the masses or whatever, but is not good enough to give to people who need undiluted fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. And I was thinking of the different things that can characterize animal apples. You know, we're commanded in John chapter 4, I believe it's verse 24, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth.
Right.
And how many times do we fail to do that? You know, we come before the Lord, we can lift up, you know, we all know holy hands, and we know how unholy these hands really are in terms of what's going on inside of us, you know. And worshiping the Lord in spirit and in truth, and yet I'm thinking, you know, what am I going to have for lunch today? You know, what is my agenda for the rest of the day? And animal apples, you know, bruised fruit, tainted fruit. We talk of love, you know. That's where it's all at. Love the God, Lord God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And yet, oftentimes, it's just words of love. Love. I love you. You know? The love of the Lord be on your life. And inside, I'm harboring some emotion or some hurt or some thing that prohibits me from actually loving in the way that the Lord loves, unconditionally. You know? I can't even imagine unconditional. I can't imagine it. You know? Because all my relationships with different people over the years have been of the type that, well, you know, I expect this from you and I'll give this to you. You know, and there's a mutual thing there. But Jesus loved unconditionally. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. And He commendeth His love toward us that even while we were sinners, yet He loved us. And every one of us here is a sinner, including me, and yet I want your love, and you want my love.
That's right.
And how conditional is it? How far do you have to go to bruising me or hurting me before my love says, ah, hey, I'm not going to take that. The fruit of unfruitfulness, bruised, animal apples, faith. You know, Paul talked about having faith unfeigned. In other words, sincere. And how many times have we had faith feigned, insincere? It's all in the flesh and the emotion. Oh yeah, and I'm standing on the word. I'm going forth and I'm going to get the victory and I'm more than a conqueror and everything else. And inside, all it takes is one little backward step, one little demotion or whatever, and all of a sudden that faith goes out the window. Animal apples. The fruit of unfruitfulness. Praise be to God. Bruised fruit. God calls us to love and peace and joy, and we can sustain any one of those and all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit for a certain amount of time. But then eventually it seems to crash and burn. You know, and you wind up back in that place of, well, what happened? You know, I thought I'm a child of God. I have the fruit of the Spirit. I have been given all these things and yet, why can't I exercise it? You know, that word love, I was looking up and doing some research on, and it says, love is a direction of the will and finding one's joy in something. It should be, for each of us, Jesus, right? He should be the direction of our will. And he should be where we find our joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength. We know that from Nehemiah 8:10. But how often do we have that pure love and peace and joy, that direction of will that is towards the Lord Jesus and pushes aside anything else that would interfere with that love and with that finding of joy in the object of our love, the Lord Jesus? How many times do we allow circumstances, people's words, different things to come up and into our lives and disrupt that and keep us and turn our direction someplace else and not allow us to find joy in the Lord Jesus Christ? How often? Isn't it a shame that we are children of God? We are made in His image. We are His inheritance. We are headed for heaven, and we are even now seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, and yet we can allow the slightest things to disrupt us and derail us and get us off in another direction and keep us from that perfect love, peace, and joy that God has for us and that He has implanted within us. I have that in me.
Amen.
I have His love, I have His peace, I have His joy, I have His faith, I have His long-suffering, I have all of those fruits, and yet my fruit is so often bruised and nothing more than animal apples. Where does that come from? And how do you overcome that? Verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all His benefits towards me? And I looked at that word render, and it means movement back to the point of departure. Somewhere I departed from that perfect fruit that God implanted within me, and I have to get back to that place of departure. Where I departed from it and go to that place and stay there instead of departing from it. You know, that's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We're recording. We don't like interruptions and blank spaces, but that's okay. I can live with that. Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, talking of Adam and Eve, and they heard the voice, the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You know what that word breeze, cool of the day mean? It's ruach. It's spirit. They were walking in the spirit until something happened. We walk in the Spirit until something happens. We get distracted. We get tempted. We get pulled away from that place of the Spirit. And they didn't know how to get back to that place of the Spirit, that place of Ruach, They were walking in the Spirit. They were walking with the pre-incarnate Son of God, is what they were doing. Jesus. We know what that means, right? Before he became Jesus, born in Bethlehem and inhabiting a human body, of course he existed from the beginning of time. And there is no beginning of time with God. He was the Son of God right from the beginning, and he probably appeared to them in the form of a beautiful angel. And they walked with him in the cool of the day, in the Spirit. They walked with him in the Spirit, and they got out of the Spirit by sinning, by rebelling against God. And now God puts this flaming sword and this barrier to the garden. How do you get back to the garden? Praise be to God. God has shown us the way, hasn't he? It's through the Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood, and we can get back to the garden, and we can get back to walking in the Spirit. Praise be to God. Render, movement back to the point of departure. How do I get back to that point of departure when I've gotten out of the Spirit and I'm now walking in the flesh? You know, we are commanded to lift up holy hands unto the Lord. And we know that not every time that we lift our hands unto the Lord, are they holy. There's something inside of us that is not right with the Lord. And we can go through all the rituals of Christian worship. You know, you can attack the Catholic Church. They have a million rituals, you know. Ringing the bell and genuflecting and, you know, all this stuff that they go through. But we have our own rituals as Pentecostals. We lift up our hands to the Lord. Sometimes we get down on our knees before the Lord. And sometimes we're in the Spirit and sometimes we're not in the Spirit at all. And yet we're going through the motions. And God looks upon the heart, doesn't he? He knows that we're not there with him. Praise be to God. How do we get back to the Spirit? What are some of the things that we can render unto God for all the benefits that he's given us? Look at those benefits. He's given us salvation. He's given us eternal life. He has given us great and precious promises to see us through. And I have no doubt that whatever may come upon this earth, that he will see us through if we lean on him. And if we not trust in our own understanding, but lean upon the Lord, he'll see us through, no matter what it is. But how do we get back? What can we render unto the Lord? What does it take to get back to the garden? Back to that place of departure. Praise be to God. You know, we can't repay the Lord for all his benefits. That's an insult to his grace, isn't it?
Amen.
You know? Well, Lord, you gave me this. Okay, I'll give you this in return. Now we're even. We can never be even with God, can we? It's an insult to his grace to even think that we can repay, but we can respond to his grace in certain ways. We can't repay, but we can respond. As it says back to Psalm 116, verse 13, I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. That's one of the ways that we can respond. We can lift up the cup of salvation by expressing thanks for his saving us. Thank you, Lord, for your great salvation. What you did for me is marvelous beyond wonders, and I can't begin to even comprehend this great thing that you did for me, this great thing that you did for grace. It's amazing. You know, and he did it for each one of us. I can respond with thanksgiving. I can't repay, but I can respond. And we can call upon his name by making special acts of devotion in recognition of the greatness of his salvation. When's the last time your eye got down on our knees and not for the purpose of asking for anything, not for the purpose of having any prayer answered, but just gotten down on our knees and said, Lord, I thank you. I thank you for saving my soul. I thank you for making me whole. I thank you, Lord, for thy great salvation. That's how we can respond to his act and his great benefits towards us. We can't repay, but we can respond in the right way. We can render praise unto him. Look at some of the scriptures that have to do with rendering unto God. Psalm 56:12. Says, thy vows are upon me, and that means literally are binding upon me. You know, when we make a vow unto the Lord, we need to know it's binding. And I've forgotten some of the vows I've made over the years. God never forgets. O God, I will render praises unto thee. That's how we can render back to the Lord. By praising him.
Amen.
In the spirit of holiness. Just praising him. How can I get back to the garden? How can I get back to the place of fruitfulness and away from animal apples and into actual fruitfulness? By praising him. You know, I have to admit, you know, you've seen it here. My favorite Christian artist is Robin Mark. Belfast 1, Belfast 2, and now, what is it, State of Grace? Is that the Year of Grace is the name of it. I mean, he knows how to praise the Lord. And you can understand his words, and they're all scriptural. There's no nonsense in his, and I can just sing along with him driving down the road and praise the Lord and render unto him praise. And I can get back to the garden that way. That's where we want to be. You know, it started out with a garden, and it's going to end with a garden. Amen. We read that in Revelation. We're going to wind up in a garden. And yet, God says you're seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus even now. You can enter into the garden. There's no longer a cherubim with a flaming sword blocking you there. There's nothing blocking you from entering in to the garden. Praise be to God. Hosea 14:2. Very similar expression here. Hosea 14:2. I'll start with one. O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. What are those words? They're words of repentance, aren't they?
Amen.
Lord, I repent. Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I know I turned away from you, but I ask for your forgiveness. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously, so will we render the calves of our lips. And that word calves there means sacrifices. I picked that song today, Sacrifice of Praise. We bring to you the sacrifice of praise, Lord. The calves of our lips. The calves were had their throats slit and their blood poured out upon the altar, and then they were tied to the four corners of the altar and they were burnt. It was a sacrifice. And this expresses it so well, that our praise, our sacrifice of praise unto the Lord, has to be born of sacrifice. Remember when David refused to buy that threshing floor or to receive it for nothing? He said, no, I have to pay something for this. And our praise, I've said this over and over and over again, that when we come before the Lord on a Sunday morning, we should have been gathering our sacrifice of praise and praying before the Lord, Lord, how can I make this truly a sacrifice? Truly the calves of my lips that I can present to you, just as they did an actual animal. We don't do that under the new covenant, but I should be accumulating that spiritual act throughout the week, so that when I come before the Lord on Sunday morning, I am offering Him a sacrifice, not just a ritual, not just words, not just, you know, response to music or whatever. But I have been putting this together, Lord, all week. And you have to ask the Lord how to do that, you know? Lord, how do I prepare a sacrifice for you that I can present to you in spirit and in truth on Sunday morning? How do I do that? And God will answer. He will show us how to present the calves of our lips as an offering of praise. Praise be to God. Matthew 22. You know, I bring this stuff forth because God deals with me. And He says, if you're going to preach this, you better be experiencing it, and you better be taking it seriously, or else you're misrepresenting me. Matthew 22, verse, we're familiar with this one, 21. Render, therefore, unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. You know, we struggle to render unto Caesar, don't we? We have to pay taxes. We have to struggle to make our finances meet our expenses. We have to struggle in this life to render unto Caesar. But are we willing, and do we make the same struggle and effort to render unto God what is His? He says, I want your praise. I want your worship. I want your devotion. I want your loyalty. I want your submission. I want you totally and completely. Body, soul, mind, and spirit. I want every aspect of you, because I bought you with a price. And we will do anything we can to not violate the laws of Caesar. But what about the laws of God? What about the demands of God? Are we willing to do anything that it takes? Do we even know what His demands are upon us? We know what Caesar's are. You get a tax bill every year. If you don't, you're going to lose your property. You're going to lose this, that. You don't pay your car payments, you're going to lose your car. And we struggle to make those ends meet, but what about the things of God? Making those ends meet, which are far more important in the scheme of things. Amen? Amen. What are we rendering unto God? What sacrifice are we willing to make in order to render unto God what He demands? And back to Psalm 116. verse 17. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. Again, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We should constantly have that on our lips. It should be programmed into our spiritual being. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. And we can never thank him enough for what he's done on our behalf. Praise be to God. We can offer him love. We can offer him ourselves, Romans 12, 1 and 2. By the mercies of God, I offer myself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto you, Lord. Are we a living sacrifice? Which is our reasonable service. In other words, it's not asking too much. I gave my life, you. I came to earth, I became a man, and died a horrible, horrible death on your behalf. Is it unreasonable to ask you to give me your all in return? You know, someone once said that unless we give all to God, I forget how, I just lost it. If you don't give all to God, you're giving nothing at all. He wants all. He wants everything that we are in return for what he did for us. Praise be to God. You know, I remember when I was in high school and I took my first chemistry course, and you walk into this laboratory, this chemistry laboratory, and there are all these strange things, you know, beakers and what do they call those things, Bunsen burners and vials and things of chemicals and everything else, and a totally strange environment, you know, and it took 5 days a week of chemistry class to get used to this environment. I remember one summer I worked in a factory. It was the worst job I've ever had in my life. 10-hour shifts. Me and the foreman of the factory were the only two who didn't speak Spanish, you know? And it was just, it was a hideous experience. But, you know, it formed some some layer of something there. But, you know, again, a totally strange and not comfortable environment. And I was thinking about that, and I was thinking that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, have a new environment, and that environment is God. Our environment is God. And the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you. It's right with you. So wherever we go, we carry that environment. And it may have seemed strange at first, and miraculous and wonderful and daunting in some cases, but that is our environment. It's God and the kingdom of God. And God says, render unto me the things that I can lead you to in that environment. That environment is so rich in experience, in wonder, in the miraculous, in the incredible things of being a child of God that you have embarked upon and that you will walk in forever and ever and ever. Learn to appreciate and rejoice in the environment that is God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Jesus. We can give God our talents. They all came from him in the first place. We can render them unto him. You know, Lucille gave me a, for my birthday, Simon and Garfunkel in concert, you know, and they had the Everly Brothers. They invited them on stage. It was like, oh, it was like a dream come true. You know, I love the Everly Brothers, and they are so, you know, they depended on them for the, to learn the struggling for words here, the harmonies and all the other stuff. And the Everly Brothers did on that album, that DVD, Wake Up Little Susie, Dream, and then the four of them joined together in Bye Bye Love, you know? And, you know, I was, I've been playing Wake Up Little Susie lately, you know? Do, 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 do. But God says, you know, I gave you that talent to do that, but use it unto my glory. You know, Wake Up Little Susie is not going to lead anybody to the Lord. Yeah. You know, but some of these songs we do hear, and that's what he led me to. And use your talents unto my glory. I've given you talents. I've taught certain of you how to write, taught certain of you how to speak, taught certain of you how to play instruments, taught certain of you how to nurture others. Whatever the talent might be, use it unto my glory. And you are rendering unto me for all that I've given unto you. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I don't even dare get into all the benefits. You know, when I think of all the things that the Lord has done for me. But the essence of this is be willing to render unto me, to go back to that place of departure, which was the garden, and you and I have suffered for that, you know, for lo our many years, but go back to that place of departure, get back in the garden, and render unto me the praises and the thanksgiving and the worship and all that is due my holy name. And you will find peace, and you will find joy, and you will find love, and you will find everything you need to survive anything that may come down the path. Amen? Praise be to God. Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Help us to get back to that garden, that garden place of walking in the Spirit in the cool of the day with the Lord Jesus, Lord. Hallelujah. Teach us to worship you in spirit and in truth. Teach us to abide in the Spirit. Teach us to walk in the Spirit. Teach us to be in the Spirit, Lord. Father, your word says that we were born again of the Spirit. So shouldn't we walk in that same aspect? And yes, we should. We should walk in the Spirit, Lord. Teach us to do that day by day, Father. Lord, let us not give up on well-doing. Let us not get discouraged because we fall out of the Spirit and we get into the flesh at times, Lord God. But help us to be ever striving, Lord, to render unto you whatever we can, and it all comes from you in the first place in response to the great benefits that you have laid upon us, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. And for anyone who may listen to this message online, I pray that you will realize that you have strayed from the garden, as we all have, that you have been tainted by sin, that you need to get right with the Lord Jesus, that only he can cleanse you from all unrighteousness, that only he can wash you in his precious blood, and that only through him can he offer sacrifices that are worthy of our Lord God, our Father. Surrender your life to Jesus. Ask him into your heart. And if you have any questions about what you've experienced, don't hesitate to contact this ministry. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God.
Father, for this day, this opportunity to draw near unto you, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to walk with you in newness of life, to spend time in your presence and amongst your people. It is a good thing, and it's one thing that we have desired, that we might draw near unto you. Lord, I pray, Father, that as you have given us this opportunity and the word that came forth, the opportunity to experience your presence, Lord, that we would have a heart's desire to walk in the fullness of the Spirit before you, to walk hand in hand with you, Lord, setting aside all things that would encumber us or fall short of your glory, that we might walk in pureness before you, not hypocritical, but in the truth, Lord, of who we are. We thank you, Lord, that we can call upon you and keep short accounts of anything that might get in the way of our relationship with you. And so, Lord, I pray, Father, that you would give us the heart's desire, Lord, just to set those things behind us and repent of all things that fall short of your glory, and that we might walk with you in the Spirit, Lord, day by day, as overcomers, yielding ourselves unto you, offering ourselves and rendering ourselves unto you, that we might do your bidding, Lord, for you know the way, and you have called us to walk in that way, straight and narrow before you. So we pray, Father, Lord, that you would fill us with your Spirit, guide us by your Spirit, and allow us, Lord, to walk with you in the Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.